The scripture reading is from Genesis, chapter 29, verses 15 through 28. Let us listen to the word of God. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for that Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, that I may go in to her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah, and Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me for another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter, Rachel, as a wife. This is the word of the Lord.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and again 44 through 52. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. He put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour, until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught a fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into the baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In these parables, Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus uses common, everyday examples, things we all know and understand. Any man, woman, and child would understand what he's saying. And somehow, when we see these condiments and this bread, we think we know what he's talking about. Alexa shared some of those as examples. But the meanings, I want to challenge us adults, because the meanings have changed quite a bit over the centuries. So in the mustard seed, you might remember those commercials, right? Pardon me, do you have any Grey Poupon? Mustard is a condiment that we put on hot dogs. It's spice we add to recipes. We find these tiny seeds in the supermarket. But to a farmer during Jesus' time, mustard seeds were a nuisance. These tiny, tiny seeds would grow in the soil, and if the plant wasn't pulled, they would grow into this huge bush, essentially taking over the crop. So mustard seeds represented weeds, big ones. Essentially, these tiny seeds produced a trash bush. And this is what's most surprising. Jesus compares this mustard seed, this mustard bush, this giant weed to the kingdom of heaven. Equating a trash bush to the tree of life certainly must have been surprising. In today's standards, a mustard bush would be like kudzu in the South. In the late 1800s, the U.S. brought this Asian ivy to the southern United States of America. And during the Great Depression, they promoted it for erosion control. The government gave great incentive to farmers in the 40s. So it's everywhere now in the southeastern United States, growing everywhere it shouldn't, and at a rapid rate, growing as much as a foot per day in the summer. It climbs trees, power poles, it covers crops. The vine consumes entire barns and abandoned cars. It's this horrendous, giant weed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed or kudzu. It's not a rose bush or an olive tree or something that becomes beautiful. It's a weed bush. Then Jesus compares yeast to the kingdom of heaven. Not surprisingly, we understand if we add yeast to bread, the dough, it will rise. The dough grows and yields even more bread. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Unless you're a Jew, which is Jesus' audience, if you think about it, Jews celebrated Passover. Every year they were instructed to make unleavened bread. If the Hebrew slaves would have waited too long for the bread to rise, they would have continued on in slavery and bondage. So this Passover ritual reminds them yeast is equivalent to slavery and bondage. Every year they baked unleavened bread, and yeast would be understood, possibly in those situations, as being corrupt and impure. Yet Jesus tells his disciples, this corrupt and impure symbol is like the kingdom of heaven, for it yields far more. Jesus then tells of someone discovering a treasure buried in a field. Yet this person digging in this field, it's someone else's field. Essentially, the person's trespassing, and the person finds a hidden treasure, and then he hides it. He sells everything of his own in order to buy this field. The person is a trespasser, maybe even a thief, but a clever one, right? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like, according to Jesus. And the last parable we heard is about a merchant. Now, a merchant in Jesus' time is similar to a used car salesman. We have really good, respectable used car salesmen, I know, but at least the understanding of some of them, I'm sure there were some who didn't cheat folks, but everyone who knew merchants overall, they weren't to be trusted. Jesus tells of a merchant who finds a pearl of uncanny wealth, willing to sell everything he had to buy it. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, a slimy merchant selling everything for this great pearl. So the reality behind all these parables and comparisons is that Jesus tells us that God takes something that might not always be good, or something that no one wants, like a weed bush or yeast that might be corrupt and impure, or a field sold to a thief, or a pearl bought by a slimy merchant, and they become an agent of God's transforming power. Now, Jesus doesn't just tell these parables. He also lives them out. And this is what I find amazing. He does things that nobody does. Jesus meets these people who are nobodies. Some are considered slimy and corrupt, thieves and weeds. It's the kind of people Jesus connects with in his ministry. Like Zacchaeus, a tax collector that nobody likes. Probably cheating people, taking extra taxes for himself like all the other tax collectors did. Cheating and stealing and lying from the rich and the poor. And as Jesus walks down a street full of people excited to see him, he sees Zacchaeus in this tall tree all alone. He's all alone like the nobody everyone thinks he is. And what does Jesus do? He calls him down and he eats with him. And he transforms Zacchaeus' life. And Zacchaeus is willing to sell everything, all that he has, to make things right because he's found a treasure, acceptance, and love, all in Jesus. Jesus is one that turns this nobody, Zacchaeus, into something worthy. And there are countless stories like this, Jesus healing the no-good weed of a man, or what he thinks and others think, a leper, healing the blind and the outcast. He even shows up to the well of a Samaritan who's sleeping around, who nobody likes or respects. She's even worse than a slimy merchant. But Jesus attends to her and gives her what he calls living water. And after that, her life is forever transformed, just like a merchant who finds a pearl of great wealth. She's willing to sell everything and change her ways. Now, these aren't just parables and comparison. These are real people's lives transformed by our living God. Jesus makes something that's wretched and no good into something important and long-lasting. And if God does that to yeast and weeds, to thieves and merchants, to the nobodies, the tax collectors, and even the adulterers, then God can take anything and anyone and make them an agent of transforming power. Jesus makes the ordinary extraordinary and the wretched into agents of transformation. Jesus takes ordinary bread and ordinary juice and makes it extraordinary. Jesus turns regular tap water into forgiveness. We occasionally watch a show called Shark Tank. Most of you have heard of it. It's a reality show. There are real people trying to get investors interested in their products. And the sharks often ask how much they've invested in their own product. I find this part amazing. People are willing to risk everything, sell all they have in order to get their dream off the ground. They mortgage their homes. They take loans from family. And many do whatever it takes, even stretching beyond what they have to sell this new product. Maybe because they believe it'll improve people's lives. They believe in what they're doing, so much so that they put it all on the line. And some are doing it because they believe in it. Others do it because they want to get rich. Whatever it is, they sell all they have. That's what we have. We've received this gift, so transformative, so exciting. Jesus believes in you and me, in each of us. Maybe we look good on the surface. We go to church, we help others, we believe in God, but when it comes down to it, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect, and there are times that I act as slimy as a merchant or cheat like a tax collector, We're not murderers, but we are far from being saints. And Jesus wants to transform even us, ordinary, imperfect, nobody, us, to be extraordinary somebodies. That's an extraordinary thing. People all over the world are looking for, they're searching for, they're trying to buy things that give them life, that give them peace and love. And even we participate in this, yet we know something that's the only source of life and peace and love. It's this pearl of great wealth, this buried treasure. It's right there, here on this empty cross. It's Jesus Christ, who's alive and resurrected and loose in our world. And all we have to do is give up all that other stuff and risk everything for it in order to gain the kingdom of heaven. Siobhan had a friend in college who grew up Jewish, and as a teenager, Annie converted to Christianity. After months of back and forth between Annie and her parents, they finally told her that she had to make a choice, them or Jesus. What a horrendous choice for a teenager to make, but nonetheless a choice, and Annie chose Jesus. She was willing to give up everything, her parents, and as a college student, their important financial support for this relationship with Jesus. She basically gave up all that she had for what she considered to be the most important thing, the pearl of great wealth, the ultimate buried treasure, Jesus. It's a question each one of us faces individually, but we also have to ask it as a church. Are we willing to give up everything, risk everything for it? If we were asked to sell everything, would we do it? If we were asked to change our jobs for it, would we do it? If we were asked to choose Jesus or family, would we do it? Jesus transforms the wretched, the no good, the weeds, the thieves, the merchants, and us. And he turns the ordinary into extraordinary, the nobodies into somebodies. I don't know about you, but that's worth risking everything. It's a message worth living and sharing through our whole beings today and every day, risking everything for it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.